welcome to episode 17, season 3 of Rainbow Bridge Connection. I'm Kayla, and happy Friday the 13th, everyone. I know Friday the 13th is supposed to be like a bad omen for people typically, but I always tend to have kind of a good day on Friday the 13th. And I'm going to be honest, I don't remember the last time Friday the 13th was on an October date, like in October. So I feel like it's just like, that's cool. And then when you think about the fact that not only is all of that going on, but then tomorrow's supposed to be that weird moon. Or no, eclipse. Not weird moon, eclipse. Tomorrow's the eclipse. So I love it. So happy Friday the 13th, everybody. So there's only two things that I kind of want to briefly talk about. And then we'll get to this episode. So the first thing is I tend to go look at like metrics and stuff when it comes to the show. And I try to kind of keep with like, you know, the specific episodes that maybe are a little bit more, people listen to them more. And I realized that I think, you know, not everybody likes spooky season like I like spooky season. And so I kind of changed my mind on doing the whole spooky season episode every week in the month of October, because apparently the spooky season episodes are the least listened to episodes. So I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, my cup of tea, but not everybody's cup of tea. So I'm going to only do one or two spooky season episodes and then one regular one. So you'll still get an extra episode. But the second thing I wanted to talk to you about is the Q&A. So I know I had mentioned it in the last episode, and if you skipped last episode and you didn't hear it and you don't follow us on social medias, I'm going to be doing a Q&A October 21st at 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Facebook. Love to see you there. We would love to have you. I'm really excited for it. I'm doing that like self-doubt thing, you know, where like I'm afraid only one person's going to show up or nobody's going to show up. But the way that I look at it is, I guess if I only have one person show up, at least that one person, we can do a Q&A and have a good time. If more than one person shows up, that is amazing and more the merrier, and I cannot wait for it. And so the only thing you have to do is, even if you don't follow us on Facebook, you can just go to our Facebook page and under the events section, or also like I've posted, I don't know, like 10 times about it, you can check it out there. And then on the 21st at noon, 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, I will go ahead and I will get on and we'll start the live. I know I had mentioned, you know, the Q&A, I'm kind of like, you can ask me anything. You know I'm an open book. So if you guys want to, you know, it's not really grief related, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with having questions not be grief related, or, you know, even maybe companion animal related. If you want to ask questions about human grief or, you know, personal questions about me, I'm totally down for that. I tend to be pretty, you know, open with my life. So if you have questions about that, feel free to ask those. And that's it. Those were the only two things that I had to talk to you guys about. Well, like update wise. So let's get on the episode. Let's get to it. I did some research last night on these on what I'm going to be talking about in this episode. And I'll tell you, a couple of these stories gave me the heebie-jeebies. Like I would get goosebumps. Also, I recorded this episode 2 hours ago, and in the middle of me recording it, my dogs start freaking out and start barking all crazy, and I had to stop it and, you know, redo it and stop it and redo it, and then I finally decided I was just gonna, you know, start fresh to make sure that it's more authentic and it's not me just, like, piecemealing everything together. But I will tell you, it creeped me out, because during that episode, I talked about how, like, one of my dogs could hear a cricket fart outside, and he would bark, and he's the one who was all barking crazy, and it ended up being nothing, but maybe it's because these stories are spooky. I don't know. So I am going to give a little synopsis of the first two stories. And then the rest of the stories, I am going to read them word for word. They were all on Reddit. They're all stories like, there was a whole thread of people that were like, you know, creepy stories that have happened with your companion animals. And I'll say that the first two, I have to edit out a lot of what they said. The first one genuinely because I'm judging. A lot of it was talking about how they kept their dog outside and never let it in the house. And I'm not okay with that. So I'm going to spare you guys the details that this user wanted to include in their 2 second story about creepy dog things. But we'll get started. So the first story, the title of it is The Dog That Inspects Every Single Room at 3 a.m. Each Night. So their dog that they have sleep in the house now because it was not liking being outside, at every night at 3 o'clock, at the same time every night at 3 o'clock, it walks around their house and it checks all of the rooms and the hallways. And then it'll go lay in front of a specific room and go back to sleep. At first, when I read this story, I was thinking to myself, like, ooh, that's creepy. Because 3 a.m. is, like, a weird time. They say that, like, weird things can happen at 3 a.m. Whether it's, like, people are more likely to have a heart attack at 3 a.m. or a lot of people wake up at 3 a.m. I don't know if it has to do with, like, maybe where the moon is at that time or, like, the Earth's axis or something. I don't know. Axis. But, I think I kind of figured it out. I think I kind of figured out what the dog was doing at 3 a.m. And people that have lived on farms or have farming animals, to include, like, farm dogs, let me know if this is something that happens. But based off of, like, the things they said the dogs mostly stayed outside and they never let it in the house. And that kind of sounds like a farm dog to me. And I know I shouldn't be judgy in terms of, I know that there's dogs that their job is to protect cattle or protect, you know, the farm animals, and so they're not allowed the house, or they, like, just really aren't those type of companion animals, you know, they're not, like, wanting human affection or attention, but it sounds like this dog was, like, not down for that and was actually pretty upset. So to me, what if, and this is a theory because they never said if it was a farm dog or not. I'm theorizing based off of the things she said. What if the reason why he got up at 3 a.m. every morning was because that's, like, the time to go check on the cattle and stuff? I don't know. Hear me out. I think maybe the people were his cattle, or, like, maybe his sheep. What do they call those? It's like flocks, right? Flocks. Okay, anyway. I'm all talking to you like you're going to answer me. Maybe you could tell me in the Q&A. I don't know. Okay. So the second story that I wanted to read, and this one I'm going to, like I said, give you a synopsis because there is triggering things said in it, and I wanted to edit it to be triggerless. Trigger friendly? Trigger not trigger friendly? I don't know. So basically, these people had a dog that was really, really, really nice, sweet, loved everybody, was totally, like, the best dog. And one day, her brother had a coworker that had stopped over at their house and asked to come inside. But their brother wasn't home. It was just her and her mom that were home and the dog. And I guess the dog, like, flipped out and was, who had never done it before. Like, they said the dog had always been friendly and nice to everybody. Well, apparently the dog was, like, flipping out and barking and had its hackles up and was, like, lunging and all this stuff. And they tried to get it to stop and she wouldn't stop. And so finally the guy was like, hey, man, I'm going to leave. Like, it seems like your dog's upset. Well, a couple weeks later, they said they were watching the news and they found out that the guy that had gone to the house that was supposedly her brother's coworker had been arrested for multiple essays. And if you don't know what an essay is, Google it. just like capital S, capital A, apostrophe, little s. And then you can find out what I'm talking about. But I want to be careful about the verbiage and the wording that I'm using, not to trigger anybody. So, yeah, that's what happened. And so the dog knew. The dog knew that he was a piece of shit. And I have actually had experiences with that where you can tell animals know, regardless if it's a dog, a cat, whatever, they know when a person is good and when a person is shitty. And they know things. It's like they know things before, like they know things deep down that this person has done. And it's wild. And there's people that are fake. You know, I'm an empath. I know people hate hearing people say they're an empath, because 9 times out of 10, if somebody says I'm an empath, they're not an empath. But legitimately, I am an empath. You've heard me cry like 7 million times on this podcast over other people's stories, not even my own. And so I think I'm a pretty good test of care. Like I know when someone is a fake person, when they're like shitty deep down, like you know they're a shitty person, but they try to be very like bubbly and nice and like, ooh. And I feel like dogs like take it, or companion animals kind of take it that step further, where it's like they almost can know if like a person has like ill will or intention for another person. And I think that's freaking fantastic. And it's just one more thing of the list of why companion animals are so much better than humans. So the third story is the dog who got freaked out by a Ouija board. And then, so right now I'm going to start getting into it, you know, like reading the story, like, you know, actually getting into it like I am the person that wrote it and not so much just a synopsis. And maybe, you know, you could have been like, hey, Kayla, why didn't you cut out the first two stories if you didn't want to read them and you had to do a little, you know, synopsis? It doesn't mean the same. It doesn't feel the same as you reading the story. And I'm going to tell you, because I think both of them are super important and they both offer like a little bit of like learning. There's a little bit of learning for each. The first one, don't leave your dog outside. The second one, trust the intuition of your companion animal. All right, so as a teenager, my best friend would come over and play the Ouija board with me. One day we decided to play at his house and we summoned a spirit of a little boy named John. We thought nothing of it and ended the game. My best friend walked me home. When we got to my place, we decided to play again. And we decided to do this outside. My dog Lucky joined us, laid at my feet while we were playing. Well, we summoned another spirit. I asked for his name, and he started spelling out J-O-H-N. Right when we were at the end, Lucky jolts up and starts barking into the darkness of a long, empty corridor. He goes crazy, as if he was about to attack. Lucky never, ever barked. He was the most docile Shih Tzu you've ever met. This night, though, he was in attack mode. My best friend and I immediately stopped playing and burned the board, and we never played again. Okay. Here's a few things. One, if the board's saying its name is John the first time, why are you going to take it out and go outside again and try to do it again? And then also, this wasn't in the story, but there was like little parentheses around the story that they lived across from a freaking cemetery. So wait, you tell me you're going to play with a Ouija board, then you're going to take the Ouija board over to your house where you're across the street from a cemetery to try and play with the Ouija board some more. Like, also, if my dog was going berserk into like a dark corridor, I'd be tossing that Ouija board and I'd be picking up my dog and I'd be going in the house and locking the door. Sorry, no. I don't think so. That's not okay. Ooh, I got the heebie-jeebies on that one again. And I've read all of these before and I still got the heebie-jeebies. Okay, so here is the fourth one. The dog who definitely noticed something. So it says, I'm lying in bed reading with my dog at night. My bedroom door is open and my room is the only room in the house with lights on. It's completely silent. I took a quick glance at my dog. My dog is staring out the door into pure darkness. I see him slowly tilting his head to the side, which he only does when he sees or hears something that seems bizarre. He growls for a minute. Then he notices me staring at him and he wags his tail. First of all, I think you're a special kind of person. If you have you're alone in a house, you have a light on and your door is open. There ain't no way, I am having a door open where the hallway's dark like that. There ain't no way. Also, because, like, especially when it's silent, I always feel like I hear things. Like, I always feel like I hear, like, extra things. And no. And also, like, if your dog's growling, no. That's a no. The dog and the closet. I woke up about 3:30. See, another one, 3 o'clock. I woke up about 3:30 in the morning to a small bark. And I called my dog, and she didn't come when I called her. Guys, did you just hear that? Okay, so I'm alone recording this. I have to wait a lot of times for everybody to be out the house so you guys don't hear, like, movement or, like, the other, you know, the dogs barking at something or whatever. And one of my dogs is, like, running around on the hardwood floor and scared the crap out of me. Okay, let's try this again. I woke up at about 3:30 in the morning to a small bark, and my dog doesn't come when I call her. I walked out to see my cat and my dog sitting by the hall closet door, just staring at the doorknob. The dog is wagging its tail, just waiting for it to open, like there's something on the other side. Girl, no. Nope. And that's how they ended it. What the heck? They didn't even say, like, hey, I went and I opened the door. Hey, I went and checked. Because I'm that person. I would have went and I want to open the door. I mean, that's why, like, I'm probably going to die first in a scary movie. Because I am that person. My husband always makes fun of me. One time, this was, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. We were in our old house. And our old house was a 2-story. But we had a walkout basement, too. And so, you know how, like, a walkout basement, you have a sliding glass door. Well, we were asleep, and the way our bedroom was is our bedroom sat on top of where the sliding glass door was on the walkout basement because we were on the main level of the house. And so I was asleep, and I hear someone opening the sliding glass door down in the basement. And I jump up, and I'm like, you know, telling my husband, I'm like, someone's down in the basement. He's like, no one's down in the basement. I'm like, I'm telling you, I heard the sliding glass door open. The thing is, though, he was right because we have an alarm system on our house. And if you open doors and shut them, it'll tell you that door is open or shut. And then also the alarm was set. So it's not, you know, it would have went off and woke us up because we had a panel that was in our master bedroom and it was still saying armed and everything was fine. And so I was like, no, somebody's down there. And I bust through the door. And I go downstairs by myself. And my husband's like, Kayla, like, don't do that. If there is somebody here, you're just going to bust through. And all I kept telling him was like, yeah, because I got to protect the dogs. Like, I got to make sure that if someone is coming through our house, like, I got to take them out. Which is funny when you think about it because, yeah, not, yeah, it's funny. So here's the next one. The dog who senses a ghost. Okay. The previous owner of my wife's house. I'm trying to think of a way to put this that isn't going to be triggering. Okay. The previous owner of my wife's house died. And she didn't know until the neighbors mentioned it a few years after she bought it. It said another word, but I was trying not to. Sometimes that word can be triggering too. Her dog would randomly stare at a certain wall in the living room and growl, like just the middle of the wall. And the dog would be like 6 inches from the wall, just growling. You would have to touch her to get her to stop doing it. you could be calling her name, you could be snapping your fingers, you would do all this stuff, and it had no effect. And apparently, because of that, they ended up moving out of that house. Which, like, the way that person died was self-inflicted. So, I think that, I don't know. Like, I feel like you should be told. I feel like when it comes to stuff like that, you should be told. Not necessarily maybe, like, when someone passes away in a house, because that happens a lot, you know? So, especially with older houses, there's bound to be somebody that's passed away, you know what I mean? Like, whether, you know, that they passed away from, like, natural causes, or they passed away of old age, or they passed away of maybe a chronic disease or chronic something like that. But when it comes to people that are, like, young, that are passing away, whether it's something violent or self-inflicted or whatever, I feel like it should be told to the people that are buying the house. But then again, it's like, people won't buy a house then. They won't be able to sell it. So, I don't know. The next one. The dog who barked at the wall. Is that another wall one? I feel like we just had that wall one, and then we have this one. Okay. When I was a kid, my family and I lived in a house that was curiously active. Nothing too concerning, just the occasional creak of footsteps during the night and small knickknacks that would mysteriously tip over out of the corner of your eye. Girl, no, that's not, nothing too concerning. I'm sorry. If I was sitting there, like, have any of you ever had this happen to you? Because, like, kudos to you for not getting freaked out. But to me, if I see a knickknack fall at the corner of my eye, that's not something, like, tiny. That's, what is happening? Anyway, one night I was sleeping in bed that I shared with my two little sisters when our chocolate lab Remington lumbered into the room and jumped in between us. I was half asleep and scratched his ears when suddenly he jerked his head up and to the left and started barking at the empty wall 3 feet away from me. After about 20 seconds of deep back bristle barking, he relaxes, turns back to me, and continues licking my face. I'm not sure what he saw that night, but I'm pretty sure that dog saved me from starring in the Exorcist reality show. Anytime they bark at something that's inanimate like that, that kind of freaks me out, you know? Like I said, I have the one dog who will literally bark at a cricket farting outside. But he, like, one time I was watching a scary movie and I was by myself, and I think my husband had come home, and he heard him before me, and he started barking, and he scared me so bad. You know, like, when you jump, but you, it's like that really deep where your head is like, whoa, that's what happened to me. And then, of course, my initial reaction was shut up, because he scared me so bad. So, yeah, I get that. And also, if, like, my dog is sitting here barking at a wall, like, that's a problem. The next one is the dog who felt a spirit in the house. My boyfriend and I swear our house is haunted. And if it isn't, then our dog is possessed. Pfft, your dog's not possessed. This has happened a few times, but I remember one very clearly because it was far worse than the others. She has a habit of waking in the middle of the night and growling at our doorway. Girl, no. I usually shrug it off as she growls at the slightest creak in the wood. But this night, she woke up at 3:33. Another 3 o'clock one. Growled loud enough that she started drooling and snarling, and she was up on all fours with her head lowered looking at the doorway. I nudged her and told her to knock it off, but she persisted. After about 5 minutes of this, the TV service cuts out. I got the heebie-jeebies. At this time, my dog lowered herself to the bed, lying flat, pulled her ears back, and whined. Then she slowly moved her head from the doorway to the TV as if something was walking in the room. I hate that. I hate that so much. Ooh. The TV shut off as she fixated her gaze upon it. And I noped the fuck out. I pulled my comforter over my head and refused to look around until it was daylight. Here's my thing. I would have been grabbing my dog and I would have been going downstairs because no on so many nopes. I would have taken my dog. I would have shut the door and I would have said, y'all can have that room. That's your room now. You guys can have it. I ain't coming back. And I'd make sure the dog was with me because that ain't happening. The next one. The dog who heard something in the garage. I have a golden doodle. And if you know the breed, they're generally really goofy, energetic, happy dogs. My dog is partially so. She tends to be very submissive, is afraid of anything bigger than her head, etc. I've also never heard her growl in my life. One night I was home alone, upstairs on my computer while my dog was downstairs. I suddenly hear some noises coming from the garage below. We sometimes get raccoons and cat visitors coming into the garage because we leave a side door open. So it shouldn't have scared me like that. Something about the sound, though, really freaked me out because it sounded almost purposeful. I sat up and just listened for a few seconds and I heard more noises. So I go to stand at the top of the stairs to listen more, and as soon as I do, my dog stands up from where she's lying, looks directly at me, and lets out the creepiest low growl I've ever heard. No. I could almost feel the blood run out of my face. When I went downstairs, she runs to the door leading to the garage, and I let her out into the garage, and she races to the side yard where she proceeds to bark for a solid 5 minutes. I suspect that my imagination was running wild with the noises, and it was probably just an animal, but it still gives me the chills when I think about it. Okay. So, first of all, no on letting your dog out to where you heard the noises, because even if it's, okay, so say, like, it's not paranormal, I'm not gonna let my dog go first. So, I have a story to tell you guys. It's kind of funny. When I was in eighth grade, my parents left for the first time to go stay with my grandparents and my sister. They all left to go stay with my grandparents, which is like hours away from our house. And it was like on a weekend and I didn't want to go. And so I asked if me and my best friend could stay at home with a family dog and, you know, hang out or whatever. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. And it was the first time I'd ever been alone, like during the night. So me and my bestie and my dog are all like chilling upstairs, living our best lives. And we decide it's like, I think it was like 12 o'clock. We finally like, okay, let's go to bed. And my parents' room was downstairs underneath the stairs. Like the stairs went over where the ceiling was for my parents' room. So we decide to go to the bed and we go into the room and I shut the door and we're laying in bed with my family dog. And I swear to you, I heard somebody running up my stairs. In the house, running up the stairs. And I was like, oh my God. And she heard it too. And she was like, oh, who's in your house? And I was like, I don't know. And she was like, his name is Malcolm. It was our family dog. She's like, let Malcolm out. I was like, a hell to the fucking no. I am not letting Malcolm out there. If somebody's A, breaking our house or it's paranormal, I'm not letting him get my dog. I'm going to protect my dog over like anything else. So I ended up going in my mom's closet and getting a, because I needed control of him. I didn't want to leave him by himself in the room in case something was going on. But I also didn't want to just let him go and have him run upstairs if somebody was up there. So I grabbed, my mom had a bathrobe in there and she had like the tie string that you tie your bathrobe with. She had that and I took it off and I tied it around his collar so that I had control of him like a leash so we could go look. And we went and we looked at the entire house and nothing was there. But me and her swear we heard somebody running up and down the stairs. So needless to say, we didn't get any sleep that night. And I'm going to be honest with you, that house gave me the heebie-jeebies. There's a lot of times that houses did give me the heebie-jeebies when I'd be by myself. So, I mean, it could be a kid thing or also it could be because, like, something was going down. Who knows? Next one. The area where the dogs freak out. We used to take our dogs for a walk along a fire break behind our house. One day we were walking one of them. He was off his leash and running ahead of us. And suddenly it was like something was pushing him in his middle, which caused him to start moving sideways. We thought it was weird and we were like, okay, that's weird. It's kind of funny. So we shrugged it off. A couple weeks later, we're walking another one of our dogs and we got to the same spot and the exact same thing happened to him as well. No, you gotta stop taking your dogs there. That's some weird crap right there. I wouldn't take your dogs there anymore. Super weird. The next one is the dog who stared at something that wasn't there. All right. Ugh, a lot of dogs staring at stuff. One night, about 2 months ago, I was doing some cleaning in our living room when all of a sudden my bulldog, who what doesn't make a peep unless she sees something, starts barking full force at the wall. And it was as if she was staring at someone or something that wasn't moving. Oh my gosh. I gotta stop doing this stuff when I'm by myself. I just got freaked out. One of my dogs is shaking. Guys, I'm scared. About our house. It was built from one of the Sears catalogs in the 1920s, and it stayed in the same shape since then. Everything is old-fashioned except for our furniture. It has the typical Hollywood spooky basement, but I never had any bad feelings in the house. But you know what they say about dogs' instincts. And my dog has always been spot on about people and places since I got her, since she was 6 weeks old. See, girl, that's what I'm saying. You gotta follow their intuition. Their intuition's gonna tell you a lot. And the next one, the dog who's definitely seeing something bad. My rescue dog sleeps outside, covered deck in a nice doghouse. I'm not gonna comment. And there has been times where I've seen him bark at nothing and back up if something was walking towards him, since I can see him from my bedroom window. I feel terrible, but I'm always like, nope. No. He just said, I feel terrible, but I'm always like, nope, you're on your own. I think not. You're on your own, bro. The dog with a creepy laugh. Okay. My Cocker Spaniel has one particular snore that sounds like a little demon child laughing. In the middle of the night, I hear hee-hee-hee, hee-hee-hee at the foot of my bed. And my eyes just fly open. Cats get a bad rep for being spooky, but dogs definitely have their moments too. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, well, I'm glad we ended it on like a funny slash like awesome one. So yeah, I will tell you, I gave you a little story about the creepiness with running up the stairs, but there's a couple of instances that have happened to me with my dogs in particular that have kind of freaked me out. So, one thing is the dog that can hear a cricket fart outside, he's a full-bred cattle dog, and he does this thing. We always call it, he's Blair Witching it, where he will turn to the wall and just stare at the wall. And at first, I got scared when he was younger and he would do it because they would say, if you read online, which you got to be careful what you read online, but if you read online, they say that a lot of dogs, that they call it like posturing, and a lot of dogs that do it, it's either because they're in pain or they've got like mental issues. And so I would be like, oh my God, like, is something wrong with him? Blah, blah, blah. And nope, he just does it. He just likes to literally be a creepy dude and put his face up against the, like, he doesn't touch the wall, but he'll just turn his whole body and just stare at the wall. And I hate it. It actually is very creepy. The second instance that I've had where it was kind of a creepy situation is our dog Apollo, the one that is sick. He's very in tune with me and in tune with how I feel and my feelings and all that stuff. And he's most like the human out of all of them. I always felt like him and Kaya were like the human dogs out of all of them. And there was a time, he was like a year old, and we had Athena's urn and her photo on the mantle of the fireplace. And all of a sudden, one day, I even took a video of it because it was the craziest shit. He sat up and he was just staring at the urn and the photo, just staring at it. And it was like 10 minutes where he just sat there sitting on the couch, staring at the urn and the photograph. And I always thought like, oh, is that Athena? Like, is she here? And she's like, hey, man. Because his name's Apollo. We named him Apollo because Athena and Apollo are half siblings. And so it was always kind of weird and like fitting that I was like, oh yeah, it would be Apollo. That's the one that, looks over and notices it, because he's not a like watch TV kind of dog. So it's not even like maybe because the TV was, to the side of it or something like that, that's why he was staring over in that exact area. But it was pretty freaky. So there's been, you know, a couple instances where I've had some freaky things that have happened where they've done things, or maybe they've like popped out of somewhere that scared me. But overall, nothing like any of the stories that we just read. So I appreciate you guys so very much. I appreciate you guys listening. I hope you have a fantastic, freaky, awesome Friday the 13th. I encourage you to go watch some spooky movies. If you are not a horror kind of person, you know, watch something on the Disney Channel. Like, they've got really, you know, cool, spooky stuff that's not slashery or horror related that you can watch that will be just as good and it'll get you into the mood for Halloween. So I appreciate you guys, and I cannot wait to talk to you guys on the 21st.